Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner, your host. Thanks for being with us today. And I think my good advice and counsel from yesterday still holds true to today. Stay inside! There is nothing out there you need to do. Stay inside. Stay cool. Stream the Bible study. Listen to it the old-fashioned way. Here's an idea. Listen to the Bible study the old-fashioned way. Get an old AM transistor radio with just one speaker and see how we sound.
Oh, that would be great.
Just like the good old days. Right? What do you think, Pastor Mark Hawkinson, our guest this morning? From Moments of Assurance, heard every day. Well, not every day. Almost every
Monday
day.
Monday through Friday.
And
right.
Then there's a weekend version.
There's
as
a
well
weekend. It's a quarter hour.
So it's almost every day.
I enjoy that. I try to make it, upbeat and perky.
we'll have none of that around here, mister. This is just a Bible study.
That's right.
Nothing upbeat and perky about it.
Well, sure there is. Of course there is. My goodness. This is where people get the living water. They're looking for the living water. The refreshment, the rejuvenation. For their life. They need to be revitalized, and so they can get up again. Remember that song? Remember the song from the late 90s, I Get Knocked Down, But I Get Back Up Again?
Chumbawamba is it's
from London or something like that in England. I said, well, in Jesus Christ, you can never not get up again. You can always be ready to get refreshed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the eternal refreshment.
Well, even when death knocks you down.
Yeah, well, then you live anyway. See, that's a paradox.
Right.
The paradox of the Christian faith is when you die, you live. But you got to die to live. And that's, it doesn't make any sense to your mind, but death is nothing more than a door. So it's a way to, and you got a long ways to go.
Wow.
I don't have as long to go as you do.
That's deep, man. Wow.
that's okay. I have less taxes to pay. Less taxes and don't have to make a mortgage payment.
You need to moderate a bit here because people will expect this kind of level every day. I'll try to
become more somber here. But
please. A little sackcloth and ashes would suit you well, sir.
That's difficult for me.
Well, you sound like you're in good health. You look like you're doing well in good spirits and all is going
had
okay.
A few health challenges in life, but with the Lord's help, been able to meet each one each time, and I'm hoping that continues naturally. So doing good. Yourself?
Hanging on. I went to the ball game Monday night.
That's right. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and of course, the night I don't go, the very next night,
they win.
I'm like Charlie Brown. I got a rock.
Yeah. Well, and I understand you just purchased a 73 VW?
I bought a classic little truckster from a buddy of mine. So,
oh, wow. And then you had to a trip to Jeff City to get the...
I had to get the plates for it,
The antique
because
plates.
Good folks in Jeff City take about 4 to 6 weeks to get you set a license plate. So that was fun. Took a little drive. So things are moving along.
Is that a stick shift?
Of course.
From 73 would be, wouldn't it?
Sure. Of course.
All right. Good.
My kids are fascinated. My kids who are 11 and 15.
Yeah. You've got one about to drive.
They look at that stick shift and go,
what's that?
What's that? What? What? A clutch? What? Was ist das, Vater?
Was ist das? Well, they weren't around when you were around, and cars were, different at that time.
Oh, yeah.
More fun, if you ask me, back then.
Yeah, and I don't know. I had one when I was a teenager. My first car was a Beetle. And for some reason, I don't know if they've gotten smaller or I've gotten bigger, but I don't remember them being quite that tight when I was 18.
Do you remember what the, I was a senior in high school, Roland, and my dad bought me at that time a 66 red with a sunroof.
Ooh, sweet.
Four-speed on the floor, of course, and a clutch and all of that. And a sapphire radio, and the white interior. Oh, it was something else.
You were styling.
The silly things we did back then, like driving the church parking lot, standing up through the sunroof. Oh, the pastor watches. Little silly things. Never mind I said that, but that's just, you know, when you're 18.
Mine has a sunroof, too.
When you're 18 years old, you do things like that.
But, you know, it's fun. It's like playing Submarine Commander, isn't
it? Yeah, something like that.
Well, you are assigned, well, you know, it's very short.
Idol Feasts.
It's a short mm-hmm. text today. It's only 13 verses of text.
Right. A lot of meat there. Excuse the pun. that's
and
what
now,
is this, Wednesday?
A musical interlude in place of the Bible study for the rest of the hour.
Okay.
I've heard this text abused quite a bit. You know, this idea of sacrificing, you know, meat sacrifice to idols and not causing the weaker brother to sin. I think sometimes that gets used as an excuse for not doing stuff.
I guess it could be.
You know, that you're going to force someone to, you know, leave the church or someone's going to be unhappy.
You know, I think in a situation like that, wisdom plays into gear and gets into gear. And the wisdom that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ will help you to make, supposedly and hopefully, the right decision in a situation like that because it is touchy.
We'll get into that because this requires some informed discernment. And brother, let me tell you, you are living in the most selfish age I can imagine. You know, it's all about me, me, me.
You think I don't know that?
Well,
I do.
I'm assuming you don't,
I understand, you know, perfectly.
But trying to explain sacrifice, you know, and submission and doing something not because you have to, but because you should. For the betterment of that person, that's tough to explain today.
Yeah, well, there's some second table of the law stuff in here, you know, that it's easy to get into, and not thinking of yourself first and not being puffed up with knowledge, you know, but it's different when it comes to love. You're broadened out with love, but puffed up, that's a different matter.
I'm broadened out with cheese puffs. That's my problem. Well, let's begin with prayer. We have some ground to cover today, so in spite of the text being short, 1 Corinthians 8, we're going to fill this hour with some good discussion. So let's begin with prayer.
Gracious God, give each listener today the wisdom to make the right decisions when it comes to what they do in public view of other people. Help that my behavior, that the behavior of others that I meet and greet is in accordance with your holy will, and that I would be a proper example. It's not always easy to make the right decisions. Help each listener as well today to get an inkling of what it was like in the Corinthian church at this time with this business of idol worship and the care that needed to be taken at that time so that the weaker brother did not become weak in their conscience and sin. Bless this Bible study. Bless Roland and all the staff at listener-supported KFUO Radio in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Those are the ways to get into the program. Any questions or comments? Pastor Mark Hawkinson, Moments of Assurance, heard every day, Monday through Friday, right here on KFUO at noon, is our guest this morning. And before we get to the text, Just to set the stage a little bit, two words that we always have to keep clear, justification and sanctification, because you talked about making the right decisions, which implies a choice. You have to choose between A and B. We cannot participate in our justification, but how we live out our sanctification is what you're talking about in those decisions, right?
That's right. Your life of praise to the Lord. Your life of thanksgiving. How do you respond to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins? He was the only one sacrificed who can save you from your sins. There are no other gods, and the text deals with other gods and lords, of which there are none, ironically.
So, well, people think there are.
I know. We're going to get into that.
We're going to get into that. All right. Well, let's begin with our text then, and we will be mindful of keeping separate justification and sanctification.
Right. Justification happens in just a moment. Sanctification is your whole life. That's the difference there.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there are many, for although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all are, pardon me, the ball, you know, I should just hit the cough button. That's what I should do.
Oh, is there one? Do you have one of those?
I try and power through these, but it never, excuse me, it never works.
Don't worry about it.
Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died, thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak. You sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. That is the text.
Yeah, it's really something.
Pardon me for powering through that. But
well, that's all right.
It'll be an interesting day to be talking on the radio.
Yeah. It is. It is for sure.
So what is the difference between a right and a responsibility?
Well, I never really thought about it. Responsibility involves something that you have the privilege of exercising. It's your, and the duty, I guess you'd say. The right to do it, that would be the law. The law says you have the right to drive 55 miles per hour, but you don't have to. You can drive less than that. You could drive more than that and get a ticket. But, that's for sure. Of course, I don't ever, that's never happened to me, not in the last year anyway. So that's hopefully. So a right is something you can choose to either exercise or not exercise. And so I don't know if that answers your question. What was the other?
Well, I think what we have here is a clash between rights and responsibilities. There's this thing called freedom.
All right. I see what you mean. Yeah.
And if I want to eat, Paul goes on and he says in here that, we know that this meat sacrifice to idols is really kind of just a silly practice. Meat is meat is meat. And if somebody thinks it was sacrificed to an idol, we know that it really wasn't, because there is one true God. And because we know this, it ain't no big deal.
Well, that's a good point. And that's where responsibility comes in to exercise wisdom. If you're going to be a responsible Christian, then you're going to be an individual who exercises wisdom in your decision-making and in eating food that has been sacrificed to idols, which you may have the freedom to do. But is it the right thing to do? Is that the way to cause another person to grow in their faith? Of course not. I mean, that begs the answer there. Obviously, that's not true. And anyway, we'll get into those as we get into those verses.
Once I'm in the faith, am I free to do pretty much, almost anything that I want?
You have, some people think that you have a license to sin. Once you're, after all, you're going to be forgiven anyway. And of course, that's not true. You have the privilege to serve your God who first served you. We love him because he first loved us. It's not a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
It's a love reaction. And I know we're going to get into this business of love and the that's what it's all about, the exercise of Christian love here is what is involved. These Corinthians might have had the right, as you mentioned, the right to eat this food that was sacrificed to the idols. That doesn't mean they should do it. That doesn't mean it's right, excuse the pun, it's right to do it. No, it means that they should exercise restraint so that they don't cause their brother or sister to stumble. And that's an interesting word in the original, and we'll get to that too, and I guess when we get to those verses.
Well, but if that's the case, Mark, if that's the case, then what does it mean that we are no longer under the law? It sounds like you're putting me right back under the law.
You're giving
me rules. Isn't that law?
Yeah, well, there's certain things, of course. Well, the law is written in your heart.
I'm looking for loopholes here. Help me out.
The law is written in your heart. You know what God's will is. Everybody does. That is written in man's mind and in man's heart. A person who is in faith, through faith in Jesus Christ, is not under the law from the standpoint of the curse of the law, from the standpoint of having to worry about, not having your sins paid for and getting the results of that applied to you, which would be going to hell. So that, of course, is out. You're not under that law curse. And so from that standpoint, you're totally free indeed. Through Jesus Christ. However, the law expresses the Lord's will for a person's life, and that's where it comes out as a guide for an individual's life, and it is a guide. And it's such that you don't want to take advantage of the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ, and you don't want to go so far that it causes another person to become enslaved. See, your freedom, the exercise of your freedom could cause another person to become enslaved to the point that they are lost eternally, even to that point.
See, now this is where it gets confusing. Free from the law, slaves to God. Free from the law, slaves to God.
Servants of God.
Can we please just make our mind up here? I mean, which is it? Are we free or are we slaves?
Well, we're
just say
totally
yes like every other pastor would.
Yes, I've heard that on the Bible study, and I thought, boy, what a cop-out. I mean, we're free indeed. John chapter 8. In verse 31, I think it is, and it's free indeed through Jesus Christ. The law cannot condemn you. That's where the freedom comes in.
The law cannot
condemn you because Jesus Christ was condemned in your place by his grace and mercy. So you stand not under that condemnation. You stand under the freedom of forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ, and God applies it. It's called a cloak of righteousness. God places that cloak. It's an invisible cloak, but it's placed on you, and it's his righteousness. See, that's the point. People wonder, and they say to me, how can I be sure that I'm going to be saved? My answer to that is, whom are you trusting? If you're trusting in yourself, you can't be sure. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, well, he's not a liar. God cannot lie. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the word in the original means it's a total thing. There isn't any dot or question mark or any little word that somehow God is going to flash in your face on Judgment Day and say, what about that? And what about this? Every jot and tittle has been wiped away and washed away by the blood of the Lamb. So you do not stand under the law from that standpoint. It's a curb, though. It does stop us. It arrests us from getting into serious sin, and it reminds us that we're sinners, and we're pointed back to the cross. We're pointed back to what God has done for us, that we are under grace, and our life is a response to what God has done.
Perhaps the problem here is previously Paul is dealing with black and white issues, adultery. But here, meat sacrifice to idols seems kind of gray.
It is. It's a little bit. And some of the Christians that were involved here were originally pagan worshipers. Then they became Christians. Then when they had, and in the temples, there were fellowship halls. Like your church has a fellowship hall, there were areas that were set aside for eating. And once the sacrifice had been burned, they took what was left, and then they served that as meat offered to idols. And the danger was that some of these people that had eaten with that in mind, that this is meat sacrificed to idols, now that they're Christians, that their conscience is weak. They can't get it straight in their mind that that's no longer the case. They know the idols don't really exist. They know that, but they can't assimilate that into their new life of faith in Jesus Christ. And so then they start to think that, well, maybe I really am eating meat sacrificed to idols.
And that's the danger. And this is my problem. Why?
This is your problem?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's your problem.
Why?
Because
seems like the hang up is with them, not with me.
Well, no, you have a responsibility. So do I. You have a responsibility to exercise wisdom in your decision making in your Christian life, and so do I. So that wisdom comes from Jesus Christ, who's the embodiment of true wisdom in the first place. So I'm going to get my wisdom from him. If I get it from me, I'm going to be like that song from London, I Get Knocked Down. I'm going to get knocked down because I tell you what, I have nothing to offer in and of myself. I have to get my everything from God through his holy word, or I get nowhere. You ever felt like you're getting nowhere in your life sometimes? I mean, it just, you're out of dentistry. Well, to get somewhere.
Well, golly, today, yesterday.
yesterday, today. Well,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow and forever, yeah. Remember that song, I Love You More Today Than Yesterday? Well, that should be the song of the Christian toward God. I love you, Lord, more today than yesterday. That's the growth in the faith that occurs through the power of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost working in the Word of God. And here's the deal. As your faith grows, so does your wisdom. As your faith and wisdom grow, so does your love. And this is agape love. This is a sacrificial love which moves outward toward others. It's not self-fulfilling. It's not, what can I do for me? I need more time for me. I've got to have this for me. It's, what can I do for you? How can I help you out? How can I assist you in your Christian walk and in your Christian faith? It's all about the other person. Selfishness is all about you. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge, you know, enlarges your ego so that you think, man, I'm better than anybody else. Love builds up. There's a big difference between being puffed up and being built up. One looks outward, the other looks inward. Now that I think about it, I get a little puffy. Everybody gets a little puffy once in a while, and then you have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for being puffed up and puffed, or in my case, puffed out. A little puff out here, but every time I try, you know, I like to eat so much. Last night, I said, no, just one helping of cottage cheese. Just one helping of cottage cheese, and then I have the hard cheese. I cut off two or three large hunks, not little pieces, of the Wisconsin.
The good stuff.
Yes, the good stuff from the Badger land, the Badger state. And so you put that all together and the calories add up. So there is another sense of being puffed up. But here in the text, we're talking about arrogance, you know, and about thinking too highly of yourself instead of more highly of other people.
Yeah, but you're onto something there, though. You are.
What was that?
Nothing, a diet? Nothing
oh,
like a little Colby Jack and a nice red delicious apple. You are.
Oh, I'll tell you.
You're onto something.
Put that with some tomato soup. And by the way, when you mix your tomato soup, use 2% milk. That's the key there. It's better than water. It comes out better, I found, for the soup time.
So really what we're getting at here, Pastor Hawkinson, is that there are moments when my rights are not as important as my responsibility.
That is correct. Your responsibility trumps. It trumps your rights.
You know, because there's this will come up in the next hour, because during Ask the Pastor, I want to take a look at the blame culture that we live in. It's always somebody else's fault. You know, there's a preponderance now of public pornography, and there's an article out of the New York Times.
Wait a minute, what's that?
Public pornography is when you are sitting on an airplane with your iPad and you're looking at naughty pictures and you don't care that everybody around you.
For goodness sakes.
You know why? And ultimately, what the story comes down to in the New York Times is, we're Americans. We have the right to do as we please.
Yeah, well, sometimes...
We don't have a responsibility that there may be a kid two rows behind us able to see this.
I agree with you. There is a responsibility there, but, you know, in the culture you and I live in, nobody is exercising it, not very much.
See, and that's why I told you at the start of the program, Pastor, that you're going to have a hard time convincing people of this, because if it's gotten to the point where we are looking at, and we're not talking about somebody, you know, slipping out of a brown paper bag a copy of one of those old magazines. We're talking about in full view of all the people around them.
Well, with these iPads, and of course...
And they just don't care.
Sure.
They just don't care. You don't like it? Who are you to tell me what to do?
Yeah. Well, that's exercising a freedom that shouldn't be exercised because you're not thinking of the other person. And especially, what about the commercials on television? There's certain commercials that ought not to be in full view of kids, don't you think?
Yeah, like two people sitting in a bathtub, you bet.
Yeah. And other things that I won't mention that are terrible.
Use your own imagination. No, yeah, don't do that either.
Don't do that.
Don't cause the weaker brother to sin.
That could cause you to sin. See, that could cause you yourself to sin.
This is
against
so
yourself.
Hard. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Join us during the break. It's a great time to call in. We'll be right back.
The KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839 is our chance to hear back from you.
I was just calling to let you know that how much I enjoy the music between 12 and 1.
You listen to us, and we want to hear back from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839.
I can always hear something nice on KFUO. And I know you are true to the Bible.
Call the KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839. Your comments, questions, and opinions are important to us.
I just want to tell you guys, I listen every night. Keep up the good work.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs and be part of them on the air, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand programs or podcasts. The KFUO comment line, 314-505-7839.
I'm Roland Lettner, coming up on this weekend's edition of Studio A. In the nation that birthed the Protestant Reformation, God is moving in significant ways to draw men, women, and children to cast off the Issa of the Quran and to come to faith in the Jesus of Scripture. Muslim conversions in Germany at extraordinary rates. Next time on Studio A. Listen to Studio A Saturdays from 1 to 3 Central Time on KFUO Radio.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? St. Paul reminds us in some eternally contemporary verses from his letter to the Romans, "Through the grace which is given to me, I have this to say to each one of you. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. Rather, think soberly, in line with faith, the true standard which God has marked out for each of you." It was necessary for St. Paul to admonish his hearers with these teachings, just as we still need to hear them today. We still live in a world where people are inclined to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. We call this independence or self-sufficiency. They are actually false gods. King David, writing 30 centuries ago, started the 24th Psalm with this general observance about life. "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it from the rivers of the deep." We call this self-sufficiency postmodernism. The psalmist tells us, all those centuries ago, that the one who is self-sufficient, the only one, is God. In his small catechism, Martin Luther reminds us, "I believe that God made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them." When we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, we do this at the risk of squeezing God out of the picture of our sense of reality. Actually, we are not independent. We are very dependent. Really dependent. Let's pray. Lord, give us a reason to lift up our heads so we can see the King of Glory come into our lives each and every day. For we pray in the name of Jesus, that King of Glory, who won for us the salvation we could not hope to win for ourselves. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. A very familiar voice that all of you know so well, Pastor Mark Hawkinson for Moments of Assurance, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, every Monday through Friday here on KFUO Radio, as well as...
Is that when it airs?
You're not sure? you've got to become a better self-promoter. Mark, you do a wonderful program. I would say the preponderance of letters that we get here at the radio station talking about programming or about you. And, well, and I mean in a positive way.
I just know how much I appreciate the opportunity.
Gary was complaining the other day. He's got to read too many letters about you. And not a bad word among them.
Oh, don't worry. I've had a few of those. Don't worry. I get a few of those.
You can't please everybody.
No.
And you know
that
to an extent is what we're talking about here with this text from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. There seems to be this desire in the church today. And by the way, 505-7850 1-800-730-2727 KFUO at KFUO.org. There seems to be this attitude in the church today. I'm speaking very broadly, not just about the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, that we have to try and please everyone. Because if we don't please everyone, then somehow we're violating this standard of Paul that we're causing the weaker brother to sin.
Well, I think really, that's always been around. It's not that that's correct to do that. I'm not saying it's right to always try to please everybody, because what you're going to do is you're going to discover very quickly that is just simply not going to be possible to do. And once you discover that, you say, okay, I'm setting an agenda. Here's the agenda. This is what we're going to do. Here are the goals. I need your support for this. And then you move forward from there. Not everybody's going to agree with you.
But what if we do this? We establish a set of rules and ordinances so tight that no one will sin.
That's impossible. Sin is always going to be present in a believer's life all the time. You can't not sin. It's in the heart. It's in the soul. As you head for your eternal life goal, as you do, you have the freedom in Christ to not sin, but you're never going to reach any kind of degree of perfection on this side of eternity because of original sin. That's the disease that you inherit from Adam. And in Jesus Christ, it's a windshield wiper forgiveness. You get, the raindrops of your sin hit the windshield. The windshield blade of Christ's righteousness wipes them away right away. But still, you're going to continue to sin. Hopefully and prayerfully, less as time goes on, but never not at all.
Here you go, Pastor Hawkinson. Tell me what you think of this. Eric has written in by way of email. He says, a person said to me, I don't enter bars because a weaker brother might see me. Is this a biblical attitude pertaining to this text?
I think it fits in to the discussion of what we're talking about here, and that is part of the practice as you get into the text here of exercising responsibility. He's talking about just that. If you go into the bar, I don't know if he's talking about a certain person seeing him or just anybody that knows he's a Christian or his identity who might see him there with that cause. Well, from the scriptures, it's not a sin to imbibe with some alcohol. It is a sin to be drunk. So what you have to do there is to watch the company that you keep. And I wouldn't necessarily not go into the bar. If you had a group that of friends that happened to be after the Cards game or something like that, and you go in and you have a drink or something like that, then fine. Have a drink and get off of it and go on out. Do not remain there and have one right after the other and so forth. That way you are setting a proper example for the everything in moderation.
But where do you draw the line? It seems that there are a lot of assumptions here that can be made, but this line has to be drawn somewhere. How do I know that my behavior is affecting someone else?
You can't know that for sure, because you'd have to have the mind of God. You'd have to have all the insight of God himself to be able to see into the mind of another person, the heart of another person, what another person is thinking. What another person is assuming about you. What are they assuming about your behavior?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is their assumption? You can't know that for sure. That is why it's really better to err in the safety part by, watching your behavior, that you restrain from doing certain things so that somebody would not be hurt.
Well, you see, if I just never leave the house, I'll never have a problem.
Well, that's right. Well, that's why I'm saying that's carrying it to the other extreme. There's this extreme on the right and this extreme on the left,
right,
and somewhere in the middle.
We've got.
You want to. I see. This is the thing. Now you want to draw a line there, okay?
Yeah.
I say that's not possible. You can't draw an exact line. You have to. That's where wisdom comes in.
Yeah, but see,
Christian wisdom.
But here's the problem, Pastor. Let's see here, verse 11. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Verse 12, thus sinning against your brother and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. I don't want to do that.
Right.
That sounds like dangerous water to swim.
It is. But here's the background of that. There were some of the Corinthians that had all the knowledge of this. They also had the love, but they felt that they could go ahead and eat meat sacrificed to idols. This would encourage the weaker to grow and to be stronger in their faith. Well, not so. That's not a way to build up your brother's faith. That's the wrong example. All right? That doesn't build up.
So it sort of mandates that I know that they're a weaker brother.
Well, you would probably know that. Just by association, and by these people were well acquainted with one another, and there were families and relatives and working associates and so on. There's no way to have all knowledge. Only God himself has all knowledge. But here, some of the Corinthians felt that, well, we'll help our weaker brothers along. We'll go ahead and eat the food sacrificed to idols. Then they can see that they can do it too. But the problem is they're weaker, and they end up stumbling. And the word for stumbling block in the original really means trap. And a person could be trapped, like like your foot gets caught in a trap in the woods, and you stumble. But the problem is you may get trapped eternally. So as you say, it's serious business. You sin against Christ. That was a good point that you brought out there. And it says, thus sinning against your brothers, wounding their conscience when it's weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. You have to exercise.
Look at verse 7. However, not all possess this knowledge. Now, I don't presume to be smarter than Paul, never would do that, but you think that would be an opportunity for him to say, so teach them.
Sure.
But he doesn't say that. He simply says, moderate your behavior for the sake of brother.
Right, because there were some through former association with idols they felt that we could go ahead and eat it, but then when they did go ahead and eat the food sacrificed to idols, then it was still in their mind and heart, I am eating to an idol. See, they didn't know for sure. Their conscience was weak, and it could cause them to sin against the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, God says. And then they would be, if they go back into that idol worship. And that's the danger. If they stumble and go back into that idol worship, they would be sinning against the first commandment.
I appreciate that, but when do I get to have some fun? I'm so worried about everybody else. I'm never going to enjoy life. I'm constantly worried.
That's how you enjoy life.
By constantly worrying?
No, not by constantly worrying.
Have you mistaken me for a Jewish mother? What?
No, you know, you enjoy life. Boy, I can't win here. You enjoy life by serving others there, Roland.
I do.
Before you serve yourself. Okay. So
I don't know. It was starting to be a grind. Thanks for correcting my thinking on that.
What has to be added to knowledge is love. That has to be added. And I just let me share this quickly here. Dr. Walter A. Meyer Jr. Was my professor at the seminary. And he defined, I couldn't do this, and I've never forgotten it. He defined agape love. He said, it's a movement toward a beneficial action at the expense of personal sacrifice. So it's obviously an outward thing. You're loving somebody else more than you love yourself, which means I may have the right to eat food sacrificed to idols, but because of my weak brother there, I'm not going to eat this meat because it could cause them, because of their weakness and because they might think that they're still eating food sacrificed to idols, I'm going to refrain from doing it. And that's where the love kicks in. Love added or enriched by knowledge causes a person to make a wise decision in particular situations. It may be okay to go in a bar sometimes. In other cases, it may not be. See what I'm saying? As a Christian. So that's where the exercise... But you want to draw, then you're back to this. You want to draw this line, and I'm saying it's just not going to be possible. You know, that's just where you
me,
have to.
Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it.
You see, it's not that simple.
And that's the problem. That is why I am convinced that people really don't understand, you know, this freedom that's talked about in Galatians 5. Because, you know, you are free in Christ. And then what's your first reaction? Well, now what do I do? Well, now you're asking for the law again. So are you truly free?
You're free in Christ, which means you don't want to, and Paul says this in his writings, that doesn't mean you have the freedom. You don't want to go back to the slavery of sin again. You don't want to go back under the ceremonial law, for example. You don't want to go back under any of that. You're free from all of that, free to follow Jesus Christ, free to be able to serve him. And that's what you do every day. That's the privilege that you have. Going back under the law would simply mean that you lose that freedom, and you lose the sureness of salvation.
And this perhaps is why there is such liberty in Lutheran doctrine and teaching. Give it your best reverential shot, sin boldly, and confess all the more boldly, and get on with it.
No, not sin boldly, serve boldly. Serve the one who first served you with boldness. Serve boldly, serve with confidence and complete confidence in Christ. And you'll sin less, you know.
But don't worry about this. Just, you know, do what you got to do. Do it to the best of the ability that you have.
Well, there's
some that you've been given, and then, you know, understand you're going to fall short. I think you said that earlier in the program.
Yeah, you
and
know,
just confess
this,
that.
This is a kind of a hotly debated thing, and has been in the church for many decades. On the one hand, you have the idea that, well, the redeemed child of God will naturally do the things that God desires him, she or her, to do. The other side of the spectrum is that, you know, you don't go back under the law, but the law does serve as a guide. That's called the third use of the law.
Exactly.
And some people are against that, others are for it, and the confessions do mention it and do explain it as a possibility that there is indeed a third use of the law, which says this is, you know, God's will. This is
curb, mirror, guide.
Yeah, that, as a guide,
as
right.
A guide.
And so, and by the way, that's written in your heart anyway, even that third use. You know what's right. You know what's right to do and what's wrong to do.
That thing is stuck inside my chest. I can't see it too clearly. So it's a,
well, but
let's go to the phones quickly and bring Jim in on this. Jim, good morning. How are you, my friend?
You talking to me, Roland?
I sure am. Thanks for calling.
Oh, okay. You just came off and you just came off and come on. Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, just fine. It's good to hear from you, and you too, Brother Pastor.
Thank you, Jim. You too. Good to hear from you.
Number one, you answered my question about people coming out of paganism into Christianity back in that day, and for them to eat of what was offered to idols, and seeing people set in places of idol worship and so forth and on would offend them as though they were right back in. But let me condense that down to today about the new convert coming into Christianity and how he looks at we older Christians. I've been in...
Speak for yourself, Jim. No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've been in the way, but not in the way, for about 64 years. Okay. Now, I used to be kind of a drunk. All right. It does not offend me to see somebody drinking, because I'm old enough to know. But let's take a young Christian that is just coming to the faith, and he sees me sitting in a bar, even though I may not be drinking, or he, or gambler, you know, he sees me in one of these gambling joints.
You mean a casino, like a casino?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
okay. And he is a former gambler or a former alcoholic, and that to me would be the same thing as going where Paul was talking about eating meat back in his day, as to how we should be acting today. There's a little song that we used to sing in children's church and in our church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Right.
Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. and little feet where you go. So I think that we should, and it reduces down what you said, Pastor, that we are servants one of another, and that we should watch how we act and what we say, where we go and what we do as to our brethren, because even though some people may seem to be strong, they may not be as strong as what they think they are, and we may be more wrong than what we think we would be.
Good points. Those are excellent points, Jim. Yeah.
Well, that's my comment. Roland, the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you, Pastor.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim, and
thank
also you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a great day. Good hearing from you again, Jim.
Yeah. Say, you know, there's a verse in Scripture that says, avoid even the appearance of evil. And well, I'm not sure that we all always do that, you know. And you don't want, especially where it's known that you're a Christian, you don't want others to stumble in their faith or to think that, well, if so-and-so is doing this and exercising their, you know, freedom, quote unquote, in Christ, that they're free to do this behavior or that behavior. Well, then I'm going to do it too. But when they do it too, they end up stumbling and falling because maybe they're not as strong in the faith as you might be, Roland, or some other people who are tuned in today. And so that's, I think, point well taken by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians here and the danger that's involved there.
The other thing is we have to understand, don't you think, Pastor Hawkinson, that there is a relation, but a difference between believing and knowing. We can have faith like a child, but a child who's five isn't going to know as much as Pastor Mark Hawkinson, who's been to seminary, who's had, you know, calls to the parish, who's got a radio program. You know a lot more. Your faith is your faith.
Right. Well, faith, knowledge is added to faith as time
right.
goes on.
Exactly.
You know, there's a Latin phrase, experientia docta. Experience is the best teacher. So you add knowledge plus experience, and guess what you get then? Then you get wisdom. You get knowledge plus experience, wisdom, and a child doesn't have as many years to draw from
exactly
as somebody that's in my 60s.
So what we're talking about really is, even though the person may be 30, if they're an infant in the faith, so to speak,
exactly, like Jim was saying, right,
then you treat them like you would treat someone, you know, and you don't assume that because they're 30 they should know better.
That's right. Exactly.
This is what Paul is getting at.
That's what he's getting at. You hit the nail on the head. And, you know, and it smarts a little bit when you hit the nail on the head, because like you say, ah, oh, come on, can't I have any fun? You know, that was your point.
Well,
but, you know,
I'm going to keep asking because one day someone will say yes.
Well, I'm saying yes, but then what's the origin of that fun?
Well, that's
you
it.
Know, the
that's
fun right. is in the Son, you know, the Son, Jesus Christ. That is where, let me tell you something. I have, I'm not going to mention any names. I was going to mention somebody, one of my relatives, but I don't think they'd be listening. Maybe they are. But how do I get out of this now, Roland? Can we talk about the weather or something? I don't know,
yeah,
because
sure.
they might be. But my point being this, if I were to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes right now, you know, say $10 million, first thing I would be worried.
Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
No. Yeah. My point is that would, in all seriousness, would not make me happy. The first thing I would think about, oh, now let's see, how much does the IRS get? Then, I mean, how do I divide that up among my children and grandchildren? Let's see, how does one invest that? And I don't want all that worry, you know, and I don't have to worry
about
that.
Well, then just give it to me, and I'll worry for you.
I don't have that kind of money. I said, that's what I'm saying. I don't have to worry about that kind of thing. But I have people I know, this is the point I'm getting to, who have a lot of funds, and they are able. You talk about having fun. Yeah, they say, well, Mark, we just got back from Maui. Okay, and I think, you know what? If God blesses you so that you're able to do that, I see nothing wrong with that. Enjoy what God, the blessings that God has given you. Go to Maui. Go around the world in 80 days or whatever you want to do. But from my vantage point, here is the point I'm making. I have a greater high, quote-unquote high. I mean that in a good sense. I'm not talking about a high you get from drugs or anything like that.
A positive emotional
experience.
I'm
talking about a positive emotional experience from listening to a Paul Mons organ concert than I would from going to Maui. I'm serious. I would rather listen to a Paul Mons organ concert than to take a trip to Maui or to do anything else like that. Because to me, that is the greatest spiritual high, and or a choir, you know, a Lutheran choir or whatever choir, and there, or be able to preach the Word of God. There is no greater privilege, or in your case, Roland, to be able to teach the Word of God. Hey, you know, what is more fun? You want to have fun? To me, that's fun. I have never had a better time than I have in doing Moments of Assurance. To me, it is a blast. It is so much fun to be able to share the Son with others. Now, does that make sense to you, or is you, are you still talking about on another plane than
No. It does make sense to me, and one of the things I enjoy sitting on this side of the table is that I get to be
playing the devil's advocate.
Agent provocateur. Yeah, it's because, you know, it's something about, like I said, culture today, sacrifice, self-sacrifice, self-censorship, you know, terms that we don't talk about, just because I can, should I? Mm-hmm. These are concepts that culture has lost, and I wonder why the church is so seemingly moot today.
What do you think? Just let me switch roles here for just let me ask you a question. As I would as a pastor to a layman, what should we do about it?
Why do you ask?
Because gotcha. I want an answer. Yeah, you got me there. Okay.
What should we do about
this? Yeah, what can be done about it to rectify the situation, according to what you're saying?
Well, if you go by what Paul is telling us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, live as examples to the culture, first and foremost.
Okay.
Never miss an opportunity to talk
make the
about
most of every opportunity, the for the days are evil. Scripture
right.
says that. Yeah.
Right. And then ultimately, I mean, if you're asking me on a personal level, and I'm not an expert, so don't, no, no cards and letters, please. But I think the way God has got this world set up is that eventually things come crashing down when they go too far. You know,
absolutely do.
You know, you want to live in just abject hedonism. How's that working out for you? Hello, Rome, call your office. You know, Greece, hello, call your office. You know, these things have all collapsed on themselves.
Well, the pendulum will swing the opposite direction. Yeah. Indeed, it will.
Yeah, and the corruption of culture will eventually catch up with itself. And then, here's the thing. You ask me what we should do. Be there to pick up the pieces.
Well, we'll certainly be there, that's for sure. I don't know if we'll pick up the pieces. That's the thing, you know. I mean, that's where Christian responsibility comes in. Pick up the pieces, absolutely. That's where the love comes in.
Let's get a quick phone call in here before we have to let you go, Pastor Hawkinson. Art, thanks for the call. We've only got about a minute.
Yeah, Leonard. Pastor Hawkinson.
Yes.
You know, I always like to hear that song, I Love to Tell the Story.
Yes, yes.
Especially when I tell them, drill, baby, drill, with respect to the water. You know, the farmers, as the snow cometh down and the rain from heaven, they're all looking for precipitation. But, you know, Martin Luther, he said, discuss your faith openly, judiciously, and with confidence in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to me, there's a lot of people, maybe I'm a little bit cynical, they're cafeteria Christians. They want to go ahead and pick what they want and forget the rest. And I guess what I'm trying to get around to is that we've got to go ahead and bust this bubble, and you do that this way. You go ahead and consider your irreplaceable natural resources as capital and not as an income with respect to your consumption base. And money is not wealth. Money is not wealth. It's a fiat.
It's a byproduct.
It's a byproduct. Aren't we?
It's a byproduct of wealth. Yeah.
And don't let your money be your idol.
That's right.
That's another good bit of advice.
Like Art said,
I don't know how that exactly fits with where we are in 1 Corinthians 8, but thank you for the comments, Art. Always good to hear from our listeners. So, yeah. Pastor Hawkinson, you're going to be are you going to be around in an hour and do the program live today, or
no? I will not be around. I don't know where I'll be.
And so,
only God knows where I will be an hour from now. But no, the program will be aired. Moments of Assurance.
No matter where you go,
it's
there
a miracle. It's a miracle, Roland. An absolute miracle.
And God go with you, my friend.
Thank you,
Pastor Mark Hawkinson. Don't miss him coming up right after Ask the Pastor. Moments of Assurance. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In John chapter 7, these words are recorded. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to those beautiful rivers musically on Jubilation this Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on listener-supported KFUO Radio.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. The service for the first victim to be laid to rest after the Colorado shootings begins an hour from now. Gordon Cowden was 51 years old. His family says they will remember him for his devotion to his children and because he always tried to do the right thing. We've learned that gun sales are way up since the shooting. Brian Cooper bought a gun in Arvada, Colorado.
Well, I think the question's been asked the last few days of what if someone had a concealed firearm on them and could have stopped him.
One gun owner in Georgia says his sales the day after the shooting were up 300% from the same day a year ago. In Anaheim, California, police battled protesters into the early morning hours in a fourth day of violent protest. The demonstrators were angry over deadly police shootings. They set fires, smashed windows, and threw rocks at officers. Police Sergeant Bob Dunn.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances. We certainly understand the concern of the community, and we're willing to have dialogue with them. But that dialogue cannot go on until the violence and the mayhem down here stop.
24 arrests, several injuries in Anaheim, California. No injuries reported from a mild earthquake that was widely felt throughout Southern California overnight. It was a magnitude 3.7. It struck just after 3 o'clock local time this morning. It was centered along the coast west of downtown Los Angeles. On Wall Street, the Dow is higher after some good earnings news from Boeing and Caterpillar, but the broader market is mixed after word that new home sales fell 8.4% last month. One analyst says that as the housing market recovers, there will be what he calls fits and starts. And Dan Greenhouse says what we're seeing now is one of the fits. This is AP Radio News.